This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City, and we get to listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Deep Sea Diver. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, I just love this new album so much. I feel like it has so many unique musical influences, which we get to hear about in the interview a little bit. But can you talk to me a little bit about Jessica and this project and this new record?
It's a great new record that I will say is all killer and no filler. It runs the gamut from like rockin' tunes. There's even a ballad on here. And musically, there are some really crunchy guitars and like cool synths and like sick bass lines in here too. It is so much fun to listen to. And of course, it's all held together by Jessica's like soaring vocals.
Yeah, she really has an incredibly powerful, resonant, and unique voice. Mm-hmm. And it really just carries through the entire album.
You know what I love about her music and her voice and her soul is that there is this like anxiety, but like this fierce like sense of just pushing through it.
Yeah.
Anyway, because I identify with that. Like I myself have deep anxiety, but I also am just like, F it. I'm going anyway.
I'm going in. I'm diving
in. And deep sea diving in. And that is what you can hear on this record. It sounds like strife, but resilience through it.
Yeah. What are we going to hear first in this session?
You know, it's funny because they did three songs from the record, and it is track 2, 3, and 4. And I was like, you sure you don't want to just do the whole album? But they're like, we would love to, but we can't. So instead, we start with track 2, which on the album, but we'll mix it up. So we are going to hear What Do I Know from Deep Sea Diver off their new album, Billboard Harp. Deep Sea Diver live in Studio A.
Complicated.
Deep Sea Diver live in Studio A in New York City with a rockin' performance of What Do I Know from their new album, Billboard Heart. I'm Elisa Ali here at WFUV, and it is my absolute pleasure to host this session and get a chance to talk to mastermind Jessica Dobson of Deep Sea Diver. Thank you so much for coming in and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad I finally got to make it to the studios.
Right, because the last time you did a show, it was pandemic times and you had to do it from...
Everything was from my own basement.
Right.
Like filmed by me.
Right. You know? But you're kind of hanging in your house again for this new record because you tried to go to a fancy studio in LA for this new record, but then that wasn't quite working. So you were like, let's go back home.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those moments where I thought I had completely failed myself and everyone involved. Where it was like, we had this record, we recorded it, 11 songs, came back and we were like, oh no, I don't think the spirit got captured in the way that, you know, you'd want. And through a few different just kind of very serendipitous moments, one being with my co-producer who ultimately finished the record with me, Andy Park, he was like, the things that you thought were demos, and my Peter, who plays drums in the band too, was like, these aren't demos. This is the record. You already started it at your home studio. So I engineered, actually the song we just played was pretty much like fully engineered by me at my home studio, which is a first for us to have a song on the record like that.
So. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you.
So what was it that didn't feel quite right? Was it while you were playing or while you were listening back to what you recorded?
I think it's a couple of things. One of them being, I think that I needed to kind of sink down into a deeper level of understanding of who I was and kind of recapturing my own intuition. I felt very out to sea, kind of on my own island, drifting away. And so I had some personal things I needed to move through, as well as, you know, sometimes you can have the most incredible crew. And like, for whatever reason, just like the spirit isn't captured. There's all kinds of examples that I've heard on my favorite records where it's like, you know, I've heard Radiohead tried like 20 times to capture, you know, True Love Waits or whatever, and wasn't until 20 years later. You never know. Yeah. It's like, not that I would hope to wait 20 years to capture something, but I think you know when it's there and you know when it's not. And we had to find this record had its own path that it wanted to take.
Did you write any more songs when you went back to Seattle?
Yeah, that was my favorite thing about it is by the time we figured out that like, oh, we actually have a lot more than I thought with the songs that we'd recorded at my house. It was almost like, because I thought I had failed, like with coming back with zero record from LA, I think I got to this kind of screw it place of just like, okay, well, I'm either all in or like, what am I supposed to do with this record? Like, it doesn't exist. And so I got to this very reckless and free-spirited place where I felt like almost like wanting to kind of capture that energy of being a kid again, where like, you're not thinking about the outcome. You're just throwing paint at the wall. You're just creating the thing and you don't care about what people think. And I really needed to get back to that place. And I think we did.
So. Yeah. I mean, it is an astounding group of songs. And I do want to get back to that song, What Do I Know? Because it is such a fun song. And speaking of fun, that video is really fun, too. There's a very cute dog in there. And there's some cute people in there. Is that your dog?
That's my beagle boy.
Oh, I love him. He's so adorable.
Yeah.
And some other friends in there. Who are the other folks in there?
Gosh, a coworker of Peter's. Actually, this coffee shop, it's kind of like a famous place in Seattle called Lighthouse. Most of the people that are in the video are from Lighthouse.
Even the little girl?
Yes, daughter of a customer.
Oh,
yeah,
so
we just cast people from, like, people that, Lighthouse is like a very community, like everyone knows each other. But I love that video is hit so hard because that one was the cheapest one to make. I think it cost $300.
What? That's
it? We just
it?
Shot it in my writing studio and
I
we're like,
that.
Let's just make it one scene and do kind of fun, kind of Andy Warholish, weird, bizarre things in it.
That's so fun. I love that. And actually, you have another video for the record. It's Shovel.
Yeah.
And that one is pretty simple, too, but also really effective. It's basically just you shoveling and dancing in the dark.
Yeah.
In like the car headlights.
Exactly. We really wanted to, I think the common theme on this record was just kind of like surreal, dreamy, Lynchian. I was really inspired by a lot of movies like Paris, Texas or Coen Brothers. It has this kind of mystery to it all. And Shovel, my dance moves were very much inspired by an old Kate Bush music video that I saw. Like, I know you mentioned Dancer in the Dark, too. And even though it wasn't maybe a necessarily a direct reference to Bjork, but yes, that song was also Bjork heavy on vocals. And I don't know, it's just this mashup of the dark and the light. And it was fun to like get aggression out.
There's a very like Nick Cave vibe to that song, too.
I call it my Nick Cave meets Robin song. Like the darkest meets the poppiest. Like
that is amazing. And actually, you're going to do that song for us. So maybe we'll just get right into it. Fantastic. I was going to say do Emergency first since, you know, it's the 2-3-4 combo.
Yep.
But yeah, let's get right into Shovel.
Great.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
A shovel, it's pointed at the tip, like Mount Everest, like Mount Everest. And I'm working my way through shards of soil. I'm carrying a shovel.
Yeah.
a live version of Shovel here on WFUV from Deep Sea Diver. That is a song from the new album Billboard Heart. Thank you so much, Jessica, for performing that with your band. And actually, since we don't have interview mics in front of them, let's give a shout out to them.
Oh, hello, band. We have Kristen Chapman on guitar and keys. Amazing. She's in a band called Morpho. She's from Chicago. Mike Dondero on the bass in Portland, Maine. And my partner, Peter Abraham Manson on the drums. And then Elliot Jackson on the keys today.
So Peter and Elliot are like the core, and you, obviously, are the core of this. And actually, you said, you know, we reached out to you last year for a Thanksgiving Day piece that we were doing. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
But this was, we basically were reaching out to musicians to say, what are you grateful for this year? And you gave a lovely shout out to your friends. You said, can I tell you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember what you wrote?
I read it to me. I faintly remember. Yeah.
You said, I've been most grateful for the feeling of newness and possibilities surrounding creativity, my friendships, and my own understanding of this life. So this was while you were working on this album. Right.
Oh, wow.
Now,
yeah,
is
okay.
What you're saying.
Amazing. Yeah.
I'm also thankful for my partner and band member, Peter, who has been continuously there for me, especially through a season of immense unraveling as we were finding our way towards finishing our latest album. He helped me push further out into the water, take new risks, and find a deeper sense of freedom in my artistry.
Yep.
That is
that
so nice.
That still stands true.
Yeah. He's always there pushing you to go further.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really lucky to have him, you know, not only as a partner, but just like we have such different giftings in the band. And I love the artist's disparate natures. They when it works, there's things that happen that I could have never
done on your
written.
Own.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. So this album also is the follow up to Impossible Weight. Also another like chef's kiss album, like out of the park. Was there, you know, some stress about, you know, making a follow-up to such a successful record?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get away from that, I think, for any artist, to not, to like, you know, get outside of. I was reading, like, I mean, that was kind of probably an incredibly popular and overread book, or maybe not overread, but the Rick Rubin book that came out. The name of it is escaping me for some reason, but it talked a lot about just like, don't think about audience. Don't think about audience. Just like be, that's why I wanted to get back to that kid-like place of like, you're not, there's no expectations there. You're just making the thing because that's where you want to be and that's what you want to do. And so obviously this record took a little while to get to that place, but I'm sure wrapped up like in even the song Impossible Weight is like, I tried so hard not to let you all down. Everyone has their inner critic. Mine can be really loud at times and I had to really ice it out.
Some of the highlights of that intense success. I mean, you went on tour with like Seattle rock royalty Pearl Jam. I mean, they have like a wing dedicated to them at the EMP probably.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What was that experience like?
Oh, that was wild. I remember when we first got like the call that this was a possibility. I was like, wait, what? Like that doesn't even really seem real to go on tour in arenas with Pearl Jam. And we absolutely loved touring with them. They're such rad guys. And Jeff Ament was the one that kind of brought us into the fold and made Pearl Jam aware of who we were. And I love his musical taste. And so it was a big honor to be out with them. But we actually debuted a lot of songs on that tour in arenas, which is hilarious. Shovel, Emergency. Wow. And kind of like honed them in the oddest of places. Like it's the huge, it's massive, it sounds crazy. Like
that's wild to audition a song in front of like 30,000 people. Like, hey, we just did this, what do you think of this?
Yeah, but it ended up being incredible and we were able to go back to the studio and be like, okay, this worked, this didn't, cut this verse, whatever. And I think it's fun for me to learn how to put on a show in the smallest of clubs and the biggest of places and to still maintain the like ethos and the core of like what you're doing and does it translate. And, you know, sometimes it's not sonically the greatest environment. Big arenas can be really washy, but can you hold that stage down? Like it was just fun for me to try that out.
And you are in such great form with your vocals here. Wow. I mean, you are really just so confidently screaming at people from your soul. It's really impressive.
Thank
also, you're an amazing guitarist. And I know you played bass on this record too, which is not something you normally do.
I was trying not to because I really wanted the feeling of newness for this record to bring someone in. And our friend Yuki did play bass on a few songs at Billboard Heart and Shovel. But I had to start filling in the gaps because we were kind of in between bass players. And I love playing bass. And it ended up just kind of, Peter was just like, you just do it. Just do, you know, you love it. Like, and I was like, okay. And so like on songs like What Do I Know and Emergency, that was me trying to rip with Peter. But yeah, I'm a big fan of like Tina from Talking Heads. There's a lot of cool female bass players that I think there's like a different melodic approach. And I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Incredibly so.
Well, you are going to play Emergency, but not doing bass on this version of this song.
Thank-
But this will be the last song of our session. So I guess, and I know you have a show to get to. So I am going to just thank you very much for coming by, congratulate you on this astoundingly good new record.
I'm
just going to call it and say it's going to be one of the best of 2025.
Thank you so much.
It's rocking. It's all killer, no filler.
Woo.
And before I let you go, though, did you put all of the songs on the record or were there some that didn't make the cut?
So the ones that didn't make the cut, I think there was like two that we just scrapped. But there's a few on here that, like I said, when I got to that really free, wild, reckless, mangled place of just like, toss this, keep this, like just severe free editing. Like there's a couple songs that I only kept one line from, but I like changed out all of the chords or whatever and just mashed things together. So one of those was Happiness Is Not a Given, and also
another great song.
Thank you. And Always Waving Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we wave goodbye to you as you play Emergency here on WFUV. It's Deep Sea Diver. That was Deep Sea Diver performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to Sub Pop Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, and Matthew Ellersick. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Bayan Mengering. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Alisa Ali.